You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here on a tough Monday for Browns fans and the dog pound everywhere as the Browns unable to put this game away. In my opinion, it would have been a great, great win and a win they should have had. The Browns unable, though, to finish the deal. I'm still a little bit bummed. I'm a lot bummed out about it. I'm not even going to pretend. I am a lot bummed out about it. Just want to say, dog pound, your home team made 10 game-changing plays yesterday, which means your game-changer multiplier is 11. Today only at Horseshoe Casino in Cleveland. Make sure you get to Horseshoe today to redeem your game-changer multiplier. And the games that the plays that qualify as these are 10 or more rushing yard plays, 20 or more passing yard plays, and turnovers. The Browns had 11 of those, 10 of those yesterday, which means your game-changer multiplier is 11 down at the Horseshoe Casino. Maybe you can go win a little bit of cash and make yourself feel better about what happened here for the Browns at First Energy Stadium against the Ravens. 216-578-0850. We're going to go to the phone lines, get your reaction right now, and we are going to go with Al in North Carolina. Al, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nathan. How's it going, guys?
It's going. Been better. It's going, though.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. This one still stings, but I'm an optimistic. And what Joe Hayden said was right on the money. It's not time to hit the panic button.
No.
There's still a lot of football to play. And, guys, I mean, the offense has absolutely surpassed my expectations since training camp, preseason, without Josh Gordon. I mean, that is a pleasant surprise. What I'm upset, what's disappointing is this defense. They would need to step up a little more. What do you guys think?
There's no question that this is an offense that when you look at it, sent, you know, last year, Josh Gordon, the leading receiver in the National Football League, to the Pro Bowl. It sent Jordan Cameron to the Pro Bowl. And you've had Jordan Cameron for exactly three out of the six halves that have been played this year. Ben Tate was brought in to be the featured back. And Ben Tate, has been out since the first half of that game. And yet this is a team on offense that is producing points. As I said, it is top 21 in every single game so far this year. It's been efficient both running and throwing the football. It is the only offense in the National Football League that hasn't turned the ball over. In fact, the Browns ranked 12th overall in offense at 363 yards per game. That is something you wouldn't have expected this to be a top 12 offense. The Browns ranked 10th overall at 24.7 points per game. That's not what you're expecting. But at the same time, you weren't expecting them to be 31st in defense either, and that's where the Browns find themselves right now. That is the biggest problem. They're giving up 426 yards per game, a league high 6.4 yards per play. Those are numbers that are not in line with what this team was supposed to be.
Absolutely not. I mean, we thought it would be completely flipped. You know, our defense essentially pitching shutouts or only forcing field goals, stopping the run, giving the ball back to what we thought was a weak offense who needed every single opportunity. But again, our offense has stepped up. Brian Hoyer has rallied those troops. We've exposed two young backs to the NFL game, very young into their career, and they have stepped up and delivered. They have not put the ball on the ground. They have. We can't say that by any means they're a casualty of giving up pass protection or blitzes. What's frustrating to me is that we're a defensive-minded football team with a defensive-minded head coach. And what's going to be hard for him and what I really look to be addressed is some significant changes, maybe not drastic, but significant changes in personnel and also to identity for this defensive football team in the next 10 days. And I would love to hear, and I don't think Coach Pettine blows any smoke by any means. He's as real as can be is, but I want to see, I think what we see in the first half of that Tennessee Titans game, which I know is obviously 2 weeks away, is going to make or break this football season, because I think that these guys have grown stronger. They have grown in confidence. They believe, and they're picking up what Coach Mike Pettine is putting down. But I think at certain points, you know, if you go back to your old way of thinking, because a lot of these leaders in this locker room have been beaten and time again, that starts to weigh on you. So how they come out in that Tennessee Titan game on the road in 2 weeks, I think is going to have a be a catalyst for this football season.
I think it could be huge, and I think you're exactly right about that. The Browns need to come out and make a statement. They've got 2 weeks to stew over this, 2 weeks to clean up the details. I think as in the NFL, as your team progresses, as I think the Browns have, I think ultimately the good news is the Browns have progressed to the point where they're going to be in every game, where they are going to be competitive. It's about finishing these games, and the difference between winning and losing at that level in the NFL comes down to details. It comes down to handling your business, being smart with your business, and not having stupid penalties, not wasting timeouts, not losing yards, taking yourself from a first and goal at the 9 and making a field goal that should at the most have been in the mid-20s, mid-30s field goal, not being slightly out of alignment in your field goal protections, allowing a block to happen from the exact same spot that a near block happened the week before. That's something that's got to be seen and cleaned up on tape, and it was not. And as a result, the Browns sit here at 1-2. Sean in Cleveland, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
All right.
Hey, there were some things that I noticed in the game that kind of like upset. Because you know what? To be honest, we should have won that game. No mistake about it. We should have won that game. And there were just three things I noticed. And that was when we got the ball closer to the end zone toward the end of the game, and where they gave the ball to Terrence West. And then the next play, they kind of fumbled it, and the referee basically gave the ball to the Browns. But what I noticed in that drive is that they gave it to Terrence West when I thought they should have gave it to Cromwell, because he was having such a monster day. And I was like, why did he give it to Terrence West? And then the second thing was that kind of just threw me off is that Justin Gilbert was like kind of panicking. It was like it's like Joe Flacco kept picking on him, and he just could never pick up on the cues. And he, instead of playing with the ball and watching the ball come through the air, he was like looking at the receiver and like grabbing his mask and all kind of stuff. So I don't want to put all the game on Justin Gilbert, but he just messed up a lot of times throughout the game that cost us, I think, some points on the board.
I don't disagree with what you're saying there. Let's start with the running backs, first of all. Isaiah Crowell, if he's shown me anything, it's that he's got a nose for the end zone. He's averaged 4.9 yards per carry or better in all three of his games this season on 27 carries, which not too much bigger than a workload of a bell cow back, maybe 7 carries more. He's picked up 141 yards and 3 touchdowns. When he gets near the goal line, he has produced thus far in the NFL. He's gotten multiple carries inside the opponent's red zone. The first week he had 3, he scored on both of those. In the second week, he had none inside the opponent's red zone. In this third game, he carried the ball again from their 14, and he scored. So he's touched the ball 4 times in the opponent's red zone, and he has 3 touchdowns. I think that he should be getting the ball down there as well. And that's nothing against Terrence West. Terrence West has 2 red zone touchdowns of his own. I just think right now Crowell looks like the guy who is getting downhill better. He's hitting the hole harder. He's got the big play escapability as well. I like what I've seen from him, and it'll be interesting to see, because at the end of the game, when it was on the line, he was in there at running back. He had a good solid run on first down. Second down, needed 1 block from Ray Agnew to get to the edge and would have iced the game. Didn't get that block. That ended up getting, kind of locked down there. I would have liked seeing that. Let's go to Justin Gilbert now on defense. That 3rd and 5 play, the Browns come out, they show 0 coverage. Everybody at the line, you see man everywhere, and immediately I'm standing on the sideline, Matt, and I see Torrey Smith one-on-one with Justin Gilbert, and I say, I would bet my house right now that this ball is going there. And sure enough, that's where it did. Pass interference penalty. He looks frantic to me out there. He does not look comfortable. His technique is sloppy, I think, as a result of being so frantic. Didn't get his head around and look for the ball. Justin Gilbert right now is standing up. And when you watch that playback, Joe Flacco saw it, and he saw it, and he wouldn't even look that direction. He's like, maybe if I don't even look over there, they won't think I'm going to throw the ball that way. It's tough. This is a guy picked 8th overall, your number one corner in the draft, first pick in the draft. You want to see an impact. What is so hard, though, Matt, about the transition from college to the NFL, especially at that spot?
Well, I'll say the fact of the matter is that you're going to see elite receivers every week. Yes, Torrey Smith or Steve Smith, may not be top 15, top 20 receivers in the league, but they're in the NFL for a reason, and they have their own strengths and weaknesses. And speed is one. And the one thing that still really shocks me is, especially for him to be, so highly touted coming out of Oklahoma State, is, your ball awareness. It doesn't seem like he has certain cornerbacks have that nose for, pass breakups, or nose for picks, or nose for just, keeping your hands yourself and just being in the right place, and not allowing receivers to make catches. But it just seems like He doesn't have any awareness. You know, it's like
he did in college.
That's my point. How do you lose that? Because again, when the ball's in the air, whether I'm, you know, going up against you or I'm going up against Torrey Smith, the ball's the ball. The defenders, you know, the offensive guy's the offensive guy. You know, defend the ball. Don't defend the offensive player. I don't know whether it's just like, I think he's scrambling right now. The other thing is, you know, his technique is he loses it. When he loses his confidence, he loses his technique. And when he loses his confidence and technique, he's not a good football player. Now, I don't care how big, how fast, how strong, and what he did in college, that goes out the window. And I think the last is he's not playing within himself. He is scrambling. He doesn't know whether, you know, he doesn't know what to do. He's scrambling, and I'm sure it's every time that he goes out there, this does not help his confidence. And like I told you, is we don't have a whole lot of depth at corner, reliable corners with NFL experience to rely on. So
they're all rookies after Hayden and Screen.
That was my point. So the fact of the matter is we're going to have to rely on him, and I really do think that he's going to get another batch of that tough love this week.
I think he needs it. And listen, on the 3rd and 16, there easily could have been a flag there when he got spun around and kind of grabbed Torrey Smith's leg, and Torrey Smith was furious. That easily could have been a flag, and they were fortunate to get away with it. And by the way, if you go back and watch the interception, Torrey Smith was 10 yards past him in the middle of the field, wide open for an 80-yard touchdown.
You know, when I talked about it last week, I thought, you know, maybe he's protecting himself against the deep ball. Well, now we see the deep ball, and he has no awareness versus the deep ball. It's really tough, and like I said, he's a project. You don't expect the 8th pick in the NFL draft by any team to be a project. You expect him to have elite talent. That's why you put the time, money, and effort into that pick, and you want to see an immediate, you know, a value in taking him that high. But at this point, he's the lone wolf out there by himself.
Before we get to the roundtable, and we're going to get to more of your calls, obviously, after the roundtable, Jim Donovan, staff writer Kevin Jones from ClevelandBrowns.com will join us momentarily. Take me in the locker room right now. He's hyped. He's the first-round pick, 8th overall. He's struggling. Everybody can see it. What is the attitude towards him right now in the locker room? You're a veteran linebacker, and you're saying, man, we're all doing our jobs here, but this guy's getting picked on. How do you help him? What can you do?
I will say you want to give him his distance because he knows that he's screwing up. But also, too, is the one thing, and again, I don't know this locker room. Some of what people are saying to him can simply come across as like surface level or superficial and just kind of like, hey, I want to see my teammates watch me walk over to Justin and give him a big pat on the back and be the big brother. But behind closed doors, you know, I'm effing him because he ain't cutting it. He's losing football games for us. He's not, you know, he's not doing what we all thought he would do. And it's tough. And it's not so much, I'll say, he's not going to rely on the players in this locker room much, especially when you're not winning football games, because these guys are worried about themselves and their contracts and what they're going to try and go out and accomplish or what their task at hand is. It's going to be the coaches. The coaches are the guys that are going to have to build him up and restructure him, you know, like the Tin Man each and every week, you know, putting him back together piece by piece and structuring and getting, and more so than anything, getting his head right. Because I believe the cornerback position, even more so than quarterback, you have to be the most confident position on the football field.
You have to be, and you have to wonder right now with the lack of confidence out there. And we've seen all the corners struggle at times in this one. I'd say, in fact, right now, Buster's probably playing the best of the three cornerbacks for the Cleveland Browns. Can you continue to play so much press man? Can you continue to play so much zero coverage out there? Those are things that the Browns are going to have to evaluate here over the next couple of weeks on the bye, because this defense needs to be fixed. Right now, the offense, they are exceeding expectations. Brian Hoyer, exceeding expectations. The ground game with two rookies, exceeding expectations. The passing game, anchored by Miles Austin and Andrew Hawkins, exceeding expectations. This is supposed to be a defensive football team, and that's what's going to have to get cleaned up for the Browns to right the ship and be able to be where they should be, which right now, I believe, is 3-0, and yet they are not there right now. All right, when we come back, the roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill, as Kevin Jones from ClevelandBrowns.com and the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan, joined Matt and I to break down yesterday's heartbreaking loss to the Ravens.